Hey, Anna. Boom, 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 boom.
What is happening?
This is our music episode.
Oh, that's right, music.
Yeah, and we can't afford to pay for the rights for that song.
I was going
to
say, that sounded so good.
Whatever song that was, I have no idea.
It was good, though.
It sounded spacey, though, didn't it?
It sounded super spacey, and the buildup was great.
Yeah, it's from a movie with a year that was earlier than our year right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say it because we can't afford that either.
Right, because we're not getting sued here.
No, no. But you understand the power of music when it comes to space movies, TV.
Of course.
I mean, it's pretty impressive.
That was impressive, too.
Well, I was rehearsing that for a while.
Nice, yeah.
But I mean, it's like some of these songs that you hear in movies just makes you want to blast off. There's certain songs that you associate with certain things. Mm-hmm. And, we're going to be covering a couple of them here today. We'll blast off to 2000 and...
Whatever.
20.
I like that. 20.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Perfect.
From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman. We're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean is the astronomer, and I'm looking for answers. In this episode, we once again acquiesce to Dean's unique tastes and talk with Brian Teasley, a.k.a. Bird Stuff, from the Earth-based band Man or Astro Man. Well, you are right in that I'm not going to sing it for you, but for example, Star Wars and even Star Trek, they both have very recognizable themes. And I feel like they both, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Hold no, on. I'm waiting for you to start singing them.
I'm not going
to
sing it. Okay. I'm saying it's just like the way that they make you want to just go exploring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just the intro to Star Trek as the Enterprise is flying through space. It's just like,
Don't do it. Don't
do it. I can't do it. But, that one. And then there's just, the John Williams music from Star Wars.
Yep.
It's
classic.
It's amazing that, even in these newer movies of Star Wars genre, they're still using John Williams' old stuff. I mean, it's like, it's timeless.
Yeah, for the 20th Star Wars movie.
It just keeps on going.
It really does keep on going.
And I mean, I see that locally, our symphony does a lot of space-themed things. I mean, it's their performances. I got to do one a number of years ago where the space was the theme and they played a lot of Star Wars music and Star Trek music and the planets and that kind of stuff. And the special guest was George Takei.
Wait, you weren't the special guest?
No, I was the sub guest. So I mean, it was, I went on first. So what does that mean?
Yeah, you opened for George Takei. Very, what's Sulu like?
He is a pleasant man. I mean, he is all that you would imagine.
Oh, good.
Genuine, nice guy.
He's hilarious on the internet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he was great. And he gave a lot of these Star Trek anecdotes and that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And he was, I mean, people were just eating it up.
Like, I bet.
Like, they were like, Dean, get off the stage. Where's George? George. Yeah. Like,
were you interviewing him?
Well, so...
Or was it like a...
It was... so they did they did a performance, then an intermission, then... Mm-hmm. So I was on pre-intermission talking about stuff in space and, flying to the moon and science facts. And then at the second half, then George comes out and just riffs and tells some stories from Star Trek. And
they were like, Dean who?
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
just kidding.
Trust me. When you're around Trekkies, like, there's... They're like, if you have anything to do with Star Trek, I could say I'm, I don't know, somebody's son or something like that. But
they'd be like, get off the stage, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's rough.
It was kind of cool, to just be in George Takei's orbit. I mean, he was just like this, his entourage and everything like that. And it was pretty cool. But I mean, who would be your go-to person? Like, if you had a band or if you had a musician you would love to meet someday.
Well, can it be anybody like living or?
Living or dead, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So mine would be Queen.
Yeah.
If I could like have brunch with Freddie Mercury, I would just die. Oh, yeah. I mean, no, it's not possible, but the whole band and their music.
Brian May.
Brian May.
Available.
I know you're listening, Brian. This is getting weird. But if you're listening and you want to be on a modestly popular space podcast, we're here for you.
Yeah, well,
I won't even go. I won't fangirl at all.
And Brian May's a real astronomer too.
He's like a genius.
Yeah,
but that's amazing because he's like a genius in two opposite sides of the brain. I mean, the man is a gift.
Yep, yep.
Come on our show.
I know he could play.
Kevin's
music
gonna work on it.
Play telescopes. I mean, it's the same.
That's right.
It's not the same thing, isn't? No, it's.
Wait,
not.
What? No, I said yeah, but I was like, no, that's no. Not. No, I'm kidding. It is. It's amazing, and they're amazing. So that would be like what? What about now? Well, who would be yours?
Well, I mean, we are going to be talking to them in a few minutes.
Are you freaking?
A little bit. I'm a little nervous about this. No, you know, yeah,
you're sweating just a bit.
We're going to be talking to my one of my favorite bands of all time is Man or Astro Man, and it is very it is kind of an obscure band, but they are
kind of
well, okay,
very cool.
They are unbelievable. I mean, it's just they're very creative, and so I ran into them by accident at a venue here.
Was it really by accident?
No, I was going to see another band, so they were there also.
My goodness!
And then they're this spacey themed band. They play like surf rock, but it's space rock. And so then a year or two later, I was out traveling. I was doing going coast to coast on a road trip,
mm-hmm.
and at this museum in New Mexico, and it was the Atomic Museum.
Oh, fun!
And we go into the museum and then we go out to the car and there's this van that says Man or Astro Man on it.
It should have said Man or Astro Van.
Oh,
or Van or Astro Van.
Van or Astro Van.
That would be pretty funny.
We'll have to tell them
about
that.
We got to tell them about that.
Yeah. But so then I was like, oh my God, Man or Astro Man was in that museum. And so I tell my friends, I was like, I must go back in and find them. And they look like normal hipster people back then,
'90s
hipsters. And I was like, well, there's four of them. There's four hipsters. That's got to be.
They're all wearing flannel shirts.
They probably were wearing flannel shirts.
It's New Mexico. Maybe not. But
yeah. It was a little hot, but usually they wear space outfits. So I didn't really know what they look like. They were kind of mysterious creatures because, they pretended to be aliens and you didn't know if they, where they're from, what their real names were, all this stuff. And so, so I met him there.
Okay, that is weird. So you're literally just trying to look for four people.
Yeah,
that are walking around, four men, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That are walking around in a museum, but this is like your favorite band, you don't know what they look like at all.
Right, you don't really know what they look like.
And it was pre-Google.
Exactly, so you couldn't look them up.
Okay, this is interesting and hilarious.
And so I went up to them and talked, and there was one guy that was more distinctive looking, and I can't remember what his nickname was. It wasn't Bird Stuff. It was one of the other ones. And so I said, excuse me, are you Man or Astro Man? And they're like, yes, we are. And they were trying to be kind of cool about it. And but then we talked for a few minutes and I didn't want to overdo it. But,
then the classic undersell.
So then, 20 years later, they come to Cincinnati and I write to them, on their Facebook page and introduce myself. And the guy remembered me coming up to him in New Mexico in the 90s. That's what kind of brain we're talking about here. So I don't know if this is Brian May style, but we'll find out in this interview if we can put him on the same pedestal.
It's not a contest.
Yeah, it's
pretty exciting though.
They actually did influence my my career slightly because I ran into them before I was an astronomer. I didn't know that's what I wanted to do.
Oh yeah, in the 90s. I was just assuming this is already
so long ago.
This is forever ago.
I know.
I was in my teens.
Yes, I know. You were still in elementary school.
That's right. I was just a mere spring of a girl.
Yep. But they had one of the things that they did is they wore, space suits and space helmets. And one of their helmets that one of the guys made had tubes hanging out of it.
Okay. Okay.
And I did recreate that helmet.
No.
I made it.
Where is it?
I got a motorcycle helmet from the thrift store. I spray painted it silver and I put tubes in it.
And you went to their show?
I did not go to the show, but I did wear it at my first job at the planetarium and the planetarium shows. You might even find it in the newspaper. They took a picture of me. I think it was in the Inquirer.
Hang on. I need to just look this up real quick. You were in the newspaper for this.
Yeah. So
I hit the microphone with my face. Are you serious?
Yeah. So they man asked me how that influenced. And I let them know. I even sent them the picture of me with the helmet with the tubes on it. And they did not write back. I think they might have thought
we could talk about it. We can ask them.
Might have been too much.
They might have been like, "Hey, buddy, we're trying to like downplay."
Yeah.
And you're like upplaying.
Yeah. I think you might be right. No, I think I might have overplayed my hand.
Well, you know, I think you're gonna play it super cool in this interview. It's gonna be totally fine. Okay. You're not gonna be lame at all.
Okay, I'll keep it cool.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate them.
Well, we've been talking a lot about music and space here today, and we've got a real treat. There's a band. This is one of my favorite bands from all time. Its name is Man or Astro Man, and they had a kind of spacey-themed run in the 90s and 2000s and still touring today. And we are joined by one of the members whose nickname is Bird Stuff. At least that's what he goes by in the band. His real name is Brian Teasley, and thanks so much for joining us today, Brian.
Wow. For me or sad for you?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I've been like following Man or Astro Man forever. Like, I saw you guys at this little hole in the wall place in Cincinnati called Sudsy Malone's, and you just
it was also a laundromat.
Yeah, exactly. It was a laundromat. Yeah. So these are the kind of great venues you guys lined up in the late 90s. And
it was the one place on tour we could get our spacesuits cleaned.
Yeah, that's right. You get it right.
And while you're playing.
That's right. So
exactly.
Yeah, how could you, because you would be considered a theme band, I would think. Like, how can you describe for our listeners what the theme of Man or Astro Man was?
We still play, so I think we can still go present tense.
Okay,
that's exciting.
Definitely.
Being a man of science, too, we don't have to stay, unless your listeners are just not up to speed, we don't have to completely stay in a linear trajectory, that's
not
really
how, definitely, no doubt.
As we know, that's not really how time works. Anyway, the point being is, just to give people that haven't heard of our band, which is, I'm sure, of anybody under 30.
Right.
We crash landed in a very small town in Alabama called Auburn, Alabama. And we decided that, the most effective way to find the parts to our ship that had kind of, expelled themselves all over the four corners of the globe, or however many corners there are these days. Mm-hmm. And, so we decided to tour as a rock band would be the best way to go find those parts.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Perfect
sense.
So
that's the official byline. We could have just been a bunch of nerdy kids from Alabama that didn't have anything better to do as well. So whichever story you want to choose.
In the mythos, where were you from, in space?
We're actually from a grid sector, which is if you need to know for sure, if you're like sending a postcard, it's a grid sector 23-B61.
Oh yeah, I know that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good part of town.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've been trying to get back there for a while, not successfully.
So of course we have to ask, which are you, Man or Astro Man?
I've seen a lot of graffiti and misspelled flyers over the years. So I've seen, the exact correct, I always like bands that either have songs with parentheses or some kind of grammatical element to their name.
Sure.
So the most correct way to write Man or Astro Man is Man, capital M, then lowercase or, which is a separate word, capital Astro A, and then a hyphen Very important, the hyphen. Mm-hmm. And then capital M and then A-N, question mark.
Oh.
So that's man or astro man. What is it? But I've seen it man or astro van, man or astro turf. I've seen one of my favorites was I saw played Iowa City one time. Somebody had graffitied over a flyer and it said they added an S to Astros. So it was man or ass. Man.
Oh. Kids.
We were carb loading on that tour, so I think it was appropriate.
That worked. Yeah. So, you know, the shows that I saw you guys at, I mean, like, you have these really cool backgrounds. Like, there's, like, these visuals that are behind you, like, that kind of, I think, really go with the music. And there's, like, these spacey backgrounds and astronauts and rocket launches and also from sci-fi stuff. But and then you throw in some like NASA issues, like suits, and you know, how did you get all that stuff together?
Well, I mean, honestly, like when we first started, going with the route of we were just a bunch of bored teenagers starting a rock band, it was kind of a time where this edge. Alternative FM explosion was happening of like these bands like Live and Pearl Jam, and everything was so sincere. And I feel like most of the kind of XFM alternative radio rock, it was like, you know, in the 80s, everybody hated Reagan, like Acid Rain, Jocks, and the threat of nuclear war. And then the 90s, everybody realized they had a bad childhood. And we just didn't want to be like, it seemed so pretentious and like super just wearing your heart out in the open. And we didn't want to be anything about that. In fact, the reason why we came up with our crazy stage names was just because we were going to change them on every single record and not really be identified as any specific people.
Change the names? Like change your names on every record you put out?
Yeah, that way it's better to franchise, you know, that way. That way we okay. just, in which we did that at one point actually. But I can get to that later, but the point being is, you know, we wanted to be, I think we were more influenced by everything we hated than what we actually liked. We just like didn't want to be that stuff. And then we had we'd gone through a bunch of our parents' old records, which kind of had like, I mean, there's some lame stuff like Chubby Checker, The Twist and stuff like that, but there's also like some Dick Dell and some Ventures and some lots of Ventures records, Link Ray, like, and it was like, hey, this song doesn't even have lyrics where you have to sing about being angry at an ex-girlfriend or that your dad wasn't around to see you play t-ball, like we don't even have to sing. And so we kind of tied into that kind of when people were the kind of retro futurism, when people were thinking of what the future might be like from a late 50s early 1960s American perspective, kind of like in that very that 6 years that was very post-Sputnik, as I'll say.
Mm-hmm. yeah
So Dean also, because he's the king of all things man or astro man, he told me that sometimes, is it true that you would have like clone bands play or like a female version of you all play, like, but they would play your songs? What's going on,
yeah,
Brian?
That's true. That is true. We cloned ourselves
okay.
at one point, which, you know, there's a whole sheep thing. You know, we were always like sheep enthusiasts, and then the Dolly thing came out when they cloned Dolly the sheep. And that's not an innuendo with sheep or anything like that. But point being is the whole cloning thing came about because we were just like, what would it be like just to overwhelm, just become a pestilence? And we had the original Space Gangsters, and then we had, we didn't call ourselves by that. We may have called ourselves after watching New Jack City, but short time. But
the Space Gangsters.
We had the Alpha Clones, which was an all male version, male-ish version, and then the Gamma Clones, which was an all female-ish version. And then we all three toured at the same time over the course of a month at one point.
What?
I think we did 96 shows in 1 month.
In a month?
Between between the three of us. And we purposely made a tour routing where it didn't really make sense. So it was like kind of spaghetti thrown across a Randy McNally map of the United States where, you know, you didn't really know which band you were going to see.
Yeah, that was my experience. As I was going to see a show, and I didn't know if it was you, the clone band, or it, you know, your Alpha clone band. They actually looked a lot like you. Like, you found people that looked like you, which was even more disturbing for me.
Yeah, and they did a tour separately that I went out and sold t-shirts on, which was super confusing to people.
So this is like franchising, but it went like kind of horribly wrong. Like cloning actually does. Like, this is a perfect cloning
exactly.
example.
It's a great cautionary tale.
We had test tubes that we put different food coloring water in, and had four test tubes representing each member. And then people bought that for some reason at the merch table. So.
No, I didn't get that one.
I was gonna say Dean's like right here, guilty.
There was a limit to lying.
I'm sure we can recreate it or get you some original ones. This is going to be somebody that still has the magic.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what you could really do for Dean? He's afraid to ask, but now that I hear you're still active, Dean wants to know, he won't say this, but he wants to know if he can play bass at one of your shows.
I can't answer that. I need to hear him.
There's standards all of a sudden.
I was going to say, you were a huge fan until you were like, wait a minute, what? God.
So all of a sudden, there's clone standards.
If you can play the first two lines to Jerry Was a Race Car Driver by Primus, you're in.
Okay. Right.
He did tell me he's not very good anymore.
I used to be.
No, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we will take you.
All right.
Oh my gosh! Look at that. Everyone.
You can even like unplug the bass and just like if I just
stand there.
Yeah, just and like you know that'd be fine. But,
give him a triangle.
That's our thing.
Right, right. That's
just
right.
Just stand there.
Yeah, people think we're wireless. We're super wireless. Yeah. We're wireless. We're not playing.
Oh my god. This is so great.
So we'll try to bring it around to some seriousness here. We're very highbrow here at this podcast. But so you know, obviously you guys were influenced by you know space and you know what do you think it is about it that like inspires you or inspires other people that really like get into this stuff?
Well, you know, I think for us it was just like discovering kind of. You know, and there again, this is pre-internet, discovering like just the wealth of imagery to pull from. You know, it's like there's never a shortage of cool retro futuristic sci-fi artwork for albums. You know, it just kind of opens itself to this whole universe. I mean, there's been a lot of like space-themed bands over the years. You know, there was like a amazing band called the Spotniks from Scandinavia, like back in the early 60s, that had amazing helmets and check it out. There's always been that kind of lineage of these type of bands. And I think it's just like people connect with it. People connect with it at different times, you know, as like kind of, you know, as like after obviously we got to the moon, people are like, yeah, that was cool. And then a couple more times, yeah, it's not quite as cool. And then like the 70s, people were like, the cities are crumbling. Can we not go to the moon anymore? So I feel like space has kind of come in and out of fashion as far as the interest in it. But it's really exciting that, you know, people are starting to, and here in Alabama, we have the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center here, which is where they made all the Saturn V rockets that sent the Apollo astronauts to the moon. And actually there's a free one right now. And look it up. I'm not joking. I'm trying to get it for my club Saturn here in Birmingham. But
a NASA free what?
Is giving away an old Saturn V rocket.
What?
If you can haul it away kind of thing?
You just have to transport it. And I looked into it, it's $250,000 to transport the thing.
Oh.
But it's really that's you can have a rocket for it. But you know, you could turn on a side, you know, have like, be, you know, say, hey, you want to stay in a Saturn V Airbnb? I mean,
yeah.
And I think it's time for another universe-wide tour.
Oh, my gosh.
So we will look forward to that. Yeah, I think you're right. The cycle's back. It's time for space again.
People need it.
And you've been a big part of that. You've been a tradition like that's been going on. When did the show start originally with Jack?
Oh,
like,
the Jack Horkheimer Stargazer show. Yeah, that started in the 70s. 76 is when they started.
76, right.
Yep.
Bicentennial. So you've been a huge part of that, and that's great. That,
His head is getting so big right now. You have to stop.
I mean, this is like, this is like Brian May complimenting you, Anna. That's what this is like right here. This is
I would die.
I don't feel like, I feel like it's time for us to step up, for you to step up. I mean, I feel like, that Bill Nye Netflix show was kind of a dud, and I feel like that's opened up a gap, and it's time for you to step in there.
Yes. Uh-oh. And when that happens, I need a house band.
Oh, my God.
We're there.
But it has to be you. You can't send your clones.
Right, no clones.
if you see Bill Nye in person one day, I want you to just kind of bow up to him. Like not quite a fake lunge, but just kind of bow up to him. And let him know. Let him know you're the new kid on the block.
Off air, we'll talk. But, Brian, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're all rolling here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a real honor.
Thank you.
So, we've been talking with Bird Stuff, a.k.a. Brian Teasley from the band Man or Astroman. Thanks so much for joining us.
I am very scared of light. I can be totally untrained at work. Here outside.
So we're bringing back a classic that we haven't done in a while. Everybody's been asking for it. It's the Crank File.
Crank File.
So we get all kinds of interesting, we'll say, ideas or thoughts. Or people think they see things in the sky. I don't know, also spin this in a way that makes it sound not like a crank. It's in there. You set them straight. You put them on the right path.
I do what I can. It's one of those things. Yeah, we get lots of letters. We get lots of emails.
Yes.
We get lots of pictures of things people see in space that they want to know what it is. And so, yeah, my crank file today was somebody that came in person to the observatory a number of years ago, bringing a picture of a sunset to me.
Beautiful.
And it was beautiful. And you could tell when he brought it in, he was very, he was very proud of his picture. And it was a great sunset. It was like the sun was just above the horizon. It was lighting up some of the clouds. And there was this thing that was sticking out of it called a sun pillar. It's a spike that the sunlight coming through the atmosphere and hitting these crystals in the atmosphere is called.
Ooh, crystals.
And so I was like, wow, that's a really great picture. And he said, no, you got to look closer, I'm like, all right, I'm looking closer. It's right there. I was like, yeah, that's a sun pillar. That's a really good picture of a sun pillar. It's the light coming through the atmosphere, hitting crystals in the atmosphere. He's like, no, don't you see it right there? That's God.
Ooh.
And I was like, no, it's a sun pillar. I got a picture of one in the back. Like, I took one. Yours is better than my picture. But
oh, that's nice of you to say.
I was like, good. This is an extraordinarily good picture of a sun pillar, but it's a sun pillar nonetheless.
Oh,
and
no.
He was very convinced, no, that was a sign from God. And
like it was a figure of God. Like
It's hard to say
something.
What he
God's
what the
fate.
Part I don't know if it was the spike itself or just the light or the whole thing, but it was
a metaphor.
I mean, could be God, all of God's creation was in that picture, and you can't argue with that.
That's
all
true.
Creation.
Beautiful.
Right there. So I think I handled it about as well as I could. I didn't convince him it was a sun pillar, but I don't think he disliked me afterwards. And that's really what I was
going for.
That's really what I was going for.
But, good job.
Yeah. So, but there are lots of these solar phenomenon. There's the other ones called the sun dogs.
Oh, sun dogs.
And sun halos happen.
Okay, what are those?
So when the sun is lower in the sky, you see this especially. It's like little sliver of rainbow. It's like a little broken off piece of rainbow that's to the left or to the right of the sun. That's called a sun dog. And it's, again, more sunlight bouncing off ice crystals in the atmosphere.
Okay.
But it is, it's a pretty cool thing to see. So if you see that, usually when you're driving home from work, you might see the sun low in the sky through a little clouds, and then you see a little bit of sunlight, little bit of rainbow on the left or the right or both of the sun. And then if the sun's higher in the sky and there's more ice crystals, then you will get a whole halo, a whole circle around the sun called a sun halo, which is really pretty cool to see.
That sounds pretty.
And especially if you have, like, wintertime, you see this a lot more. Mm-hmm. And if you get, like, if you have your special sunglasses with UV protection.
Oh, right.
And you put your hand in front of the sun and block it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can see the halo.
Oh, around it.
Yes.
Are you supposed to be staring directly into the sun even with UV glasses on?
You stare at the halo around the sun. So that's why I say block the sun with your
hand. Details, schmeetails.
Yeah, don't stare at the sun.
Don't stare at the sun.
Look at the stuff around the sun.
I don't know. My eyes could wander over it. That could happen.
Yes.
But I'll try.
Yes. So, was the cool crank file. It was a really
cool
picture.
But it was a cool picture.
But, yeah, hopefully, and I told him, you know, keep looking up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that's the real theme, right?
That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks so much to Brian Teasley, a.k.a. Bird Stuff, from the band Man or Astro Man, for making Dean so very happy. You can find a link to the band on our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
This has definitely been the best episode ever, by the way. Thank you. Thank you for humoring for me with this, Man or Astro Man. Thank you. Thank you for listening out there, too. We'd love to get your ideas and guests for topics and questions and any other stuff that you or your kids may have about space, astronomy, and science. You can drop us a note on Facebook or Twitter or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org.
The archives of all past episodes of Looking Up are easy to find. Check out interviews about a variety of NASA programs, the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, a couple of episodes about the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing last year, and many more at wvxu.org/lookingup.
You can also subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts. And please give us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts. It really helps, and we really appreciate it.
Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.